We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's like the quiet before the storm for the football guys like Albert Breer. You had the draft. You had the free agency.
Yeah, it is kind of quiet.
And now it's quiet before training camp. How do you feel about this time of year, Albert?
You just hope no one gets arrested at 1 in the morning.
That's true. That's how it can get loud. Yep. Somebody gets arrested and you got a big story going on.
We've had a lot of those. You guys remember, of course, the 4th of July a few years ago with JPP.
Those
tend to come out of nowhere. And I'll tell you, I've got more than a few stories of those happening at the exact wrong time for me. So it never shuts down completely, but it's a lot slower now than it is almost any other time of year.
Yeah. You had a great article at MMQB about Sam Darnold and how this all happened. I'm still kind of shocked. It doesn't mean I think he's going to be the greatest quarterback ever. We don't know yet. But the idea that the Jets ended up with this guy after where they were originally picking, even when they traded up, still is it's insane that it actually happened.
Yeah, you know, the amazing thing to me, and when I was talking to people there about this, last week, was the one question I asked everybody was sort of like, all right, like, when did you actually allow yourself to believe this could happen, you know? And when did you, because I remember, like, there was the rumors about Josh Allen going first, and then there was the rumors about the buzz, of course, of the couple days before the draft about Baker. And, you know, really, like, the Jets people didn't believe it at all. You know, they didn't – it was almost like they weren't allowing themselves to believe that that could happen. Like, there's no way Sam's going to slip to us. And, you know, the feeling I got, like, was that McCagnan, like, even didn't believe it after Baker went first. Like, he thought something was going to happen in front of him. You know, like something, like, whether it was, you know, the Giants shocking and taking him, or – like the someone, you know, making this big swing to come up and get him. You know, it really wasn't until he got word that everything was quiet at the Giants table and it looked like there wasn't going to be a trade, where he was like, my God, they really are just going to sit there and take Saquon and we're really going to have a shot at Sam. And so, you know, that was what was so interesting about reporting this thing out. It's like this ideal scenario is almost like one of those things where you don't let yourself believe it's going to happen because you don't want to be let down. It's almost like that was the attitude of the Jets people during draft week. Like, this isn't really going to happen, so let's not get our hopes up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And you know, let's be honest, too, because you look at it, they were sitting there at 6, and if they don't make that trade up to 3, they don't get Donald. I mean, it's not going to – somebody would have traded up ahead of them to get Donald. Probably Buffalo was probably would have the team that would have done it.
I don't think he gets past Denver.
Denver.
I think Denver would have taken him at 5.
And, right, right.
You know, certainly I think, you know, I know the Browns were asking for a lot for the 4th pick, but I think the Browns could have been in play to trade that pick. And you know, if they haven't moved up, obviously Indy would be a candidate to move down to. So, the trade was such an essential part to the whole thing.
Well, that's the thing. If the Jets don't make that trade and Indy doesn't make that trade, and now we get to draft day and they try to sell that pick as Darnold is falling, I would imagine it would have cost the Jets or anybody else a hell of a lot more than 3 number two picks if they knew Sam Darnold was there.
I thought that was the smartest thing the Jets did, was they made this bet, right? Like, and so, and I don't know if everybody listening that read this story, if you don't, try, please do.
Oh, it's great. You had great access to this.
It'll fill in the blanks here, but they basically made a decision in January 2017, like, we're okay waiting. We're okay passing on Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes because we like the quarterbacks that are going to be available in 2018. And so, really, they've done, like, 16 months of homework on these guys, you know? And so they felt like going into the offseason, they had a better handle on the class than everybody else. Like, we're ahead of everybody else. It's not because we're better. It's just that we've done more work than anybody could have possibly done on this class. And they felt like if they could jump out in front of everybody, like maybe Buffalo, maybe Arizona, maybe those teams aren't done with their quarterback evaluations yet. You know, maybe those teams aren't quite sure how far they're willing to move up. And we can put this, we can move aggressively now in January, and maybe we can get a deal done early before those teams are ready to jump. And I think that that was really just a really sensible way of handling it, where it's like, all right, we know there are three quarterbacks here we really like. Cleveland said no. We're not going to talk to the Giants because we don't trust that word won't get out. So let's focus on the Colts. Let's see if we can get a deal done. Let's leverage our relationships there, and maybe we'll get a little bit of a discount. What we're offering the Colts, of course, is that now they'll have the third pick early, and they'll be able to look at the draft. Now they'll be you know, down there at six early, so they'll be able to look at the draft in that context. So I think it was a win-win for both the Colts and the Jets, and it doesn't happen unless the Jets have done all this homework way ahead of time.
You know, it's interesting because you said that that Darnold would not have gotten by Denver at five, and Denver did not take either Allen or Rosen, which they could have done, and they wound up with Chubb. So what you're telling me is the only quarterback Denver would have took was Darnold then, right?
Yeah, they liked Baker. I know he had some support in the building. You know, Elway and is the one who's ultimately got the trigger, but Matt Russell, Gary Kubiak, they really liked Baker. Ultimately, I think I think the only quarterback that he really would have said, okay, I'm okay passing on Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson or Denzel Ward, whoever it is that's going to fall to us, I'm okay doing that for would have been Sam. That was the impression I got. In the days after the draft.
We're talking to Albert Breer about football. To the Giants, they are bringing back some guys that I think 3 or 4 months ago, maybe we would have said, oh, they're not bringing them back. They're not going to bring Eric Flowers back. They're not going to bring Eli Apple back. Your thoughts on the Giants trying to make it work with those guys right now?
Well, you know, clearly those guys have some ability. And I know one of the things that Pat Shurmur's done a really good job of and has been proactive about is rebuilding some of the relationships that have been fractured in that building over the course of the last year. I don't need to tell you guys, last year was a disaster, just a total mess. And, you know, the relationship between certain players and the team, you know, went sideways. And that's Odell, that's Eli, that's Eric Flowers. And a lot of those relationships need to be repaired. And I thought Pat did a really nice job in January and February of laying the groundwork for, like, this is going to be different. You've got a clean slate. You can come in here and you can earn your way, and we're going to give you a chance to start over again. And, you know, I think it's paid off with Odell. I can tell you this right now. I think it's paid off with Eli Apple, too. Like, they're getting better production out of Eli Apple, in their off-season program than maybe he was giving over the last couple of years. And so, who knows what it's going to mean in the fall, but I just tell you that I think that the relationship building that Pat's been able to establish, with some of the guys that were troubled last year, I think has been significant. And, you know, the hope is that it's going to mean, you know, when you go into July and August, you've got more of the team on board with your program, and you're able to have a productive summer building into the season.
Albert, how about what Cleveland did? Because I guess, it surprised a lot of people. They took Mayfield one, and then at four, everybody thought they're going to take Chubb at four, and they take the cornerback from, Ward from Ohio State. I mean, that was kind of, both of those were kind of surprises, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I think one of the things that was interesting about Mayfield was, you know, and I had somebody there say this to me, a couple days before the draft. This is a guy who's pretty high up there too. He said, if Baker is 6'4", we're not having this discussion. Like, there's no debate if Baker is 6'4". Mm-hmm. You know, now that's not to say height doesn't matter, but that's the way that they felt. Like, it was like, that was the one thing they needed to get past. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't an insignificant thing because, you know, John Dorsey, look at his history. He's a measurables guy. They just felt like this guy's got the best tape. This guy's accurate. This guy's a great decision maker. Are we okay with his height? And, you know, they got themselves past that. I think that, you know, like you just look at the player himself, and he was obviously enormously productive the last few years at Oklahoma. And the Browns are obviously comfortable with where they're at in him. And then on Denzel, I think it really kind of came down to a tiebreaker. where they had Bradley Chubb and Denzel Ward ranked very close to one another. And it felt to me, at least at the end, like need became a tiebreaker. They've already got Myles Garrett. They've got Emmanuel Ogbah, who's a good number two defensive end. And they had a crying need after losing Joe Hayden last summer at corner. And so I think the feeling was, we've got, you know, a choice between two players who we think are relatively equal. We believe Ward might actually have a little bit more upside, and Ward fills the need, so that's the way we're going to go there.
Mm. Talking to Albert Breer, what do we know about this David Tepper, who is close to buying the Carolina Panthers?
Well, I don't know if you guys heard about it, the story about the mansion out in the Hamptons, but that was fantastic. Have you guys heard that one?
What's
no.
that?
Mansion in the Hamptons, no.
No, okay. So his old boss at Goldman became the governor of New Jersey, right? And, like, so this guy gets divorced, and his ex-wife gets their mansion out in the Hamptons, right? This guy had passed Tepper over for a promotion a few years before. So Tepper goes and he buys the mansion from the ex-wife, levels it, and buys and builds a house that's twice the size.
Oh, boy. As a fan of the Panthers, I love this guy. He sounds like a competitor.
That's a boss move right there.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
You know, I'll tell you this. Like, I think that the way – this is a messy process, of course, because of the way it began and all of that. If I'm a Panthers fan, what I like about this is this guy has really, like, really over the last 5 months applied his business principles to everything. We don't usually see that in these team sales. Normally, you have some sort of bidder who's got a ton of capital and goes crazy. In this situation, the guy who had all the capital – was a guy who was very disciplined about how he handled, you know, the process. And he set a number. He said, this is what I think the team is worth. He did a ton of analysis on it. He said, I'm not moving off my number. He knew the other owners wanted him in, and he winds up winning out in the end. I think a lot of other owners, Richardson included, felt like they were going to get 2.6 or 2.7 for the team. I know some people were sort of dreaming that maybe they break the $3 billion the barrier here. They didn't come close to that. And I think a huge part of it is that the guy who, you know, had all the capital here was the guy who had all the discipline. And why I think that matters now is that tells you that, you know, this is a guy who is going to adhere to his business principles and the way he runs his football team. And my experience is the guys who do that, I think the Maras are in that category, the Rooneys are in that category, Bob Kraft in New England's in that category. The guys who really apply their business principles into how they run a professional sports team are guys that are successful.
Mm. So Steph Curry,
just like the Johnsons, right?
Yeah, very similar. Steph Curry tried to buy the Panthers as well.
Yeah, so he was part of a group that was, and the NBA wasn't going to let that happen. He's part of a group that was headed by Michael Rubin. You know, who's the co-owner of the Sixers, and the Nets owner, actually, the new Nets owner, was part of that group, too. From what I understand, the NBA said that Curry couldn't be part of that group because there's a rule, and this actually makes some sense. They have a bylaw that says that players can't enter into business relationships with owners of other teams. So Curry was initially part of that group, but the NBA wound up saying no.
Mm. Interesting. Talking football with Albert Breer. When you look, and I know we can't evaluate the drafts until years from now, and I get delirious when I see teams, you know, you got to evaluate, oh, this team has an A, this team has a C.
Yeah.
But is there any team that you feel, you know, you like what they did in a draft anyway, more than somebody else?
I think the best you can do here, Joe, right, is, like, just look at it and say, like, who got guys that, like, were projected to maybe go a little higher,
right?
And so, like, the team where I really like what they did is actually Jacksonville. The kid they got in the first round, Taven Bryan, and you can say, yeah, they don't need another defensive lineman, but look at how Tom Coughlin's Giants teams built those rosters. You know, you built strength on strength. They kept drafting defensive linemen.
Right.
And you see it with the offensive line. They signed Andrew Norwell this offseason, even though the offensive line was already a strength. So you see them building strength on strength there. They did it in the third round again with Ronnie Harris and the safety out of Alabama. They've already got a great secondary, but now you're building strength on strength. And then they got a receiver in the second round who, I think a lot of people felt like was a victim of LSU's offense, a victim of, like, the scheme there in DJ Chark. So I thought the Jaguars, obviously, you know, they're coming off of a breakthrough season and everything else. But I think resisting the temptation there to just start filling like holes and just saying, okay, well, we need this and this and this, and we'll be a little bit better, and that'll get us over the top. I think resisting the idea of doing that and instead choosing to kind of build strength where they're already strong. I feel like you look back over the history of teams that have won championships, you see a lot of teams that have operated that way, and certainly the Jags did here.
Mm. I like the Browns being on Hard Knocks. They could be.
Oh, is that the Hard Knocks team, the Browns?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
wow. Yep.
They seem like a fun watch.
I think it's going to be interesting to see like John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson, right? Because we know, you know, Hugh's coaching for his job. Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, how do they interact?
Yeah, right.
And then I'll tell you what, Jimmy Haslam is going to be a star. With the accent, the way he dresses, all of that, Jimmy Haslam's going to be an interesting character, too.
Mm.
I don't know if they'll be bringing up the rebates, though. Probably not, right?
Like, no, I doubt it.
You still have to stay away from that.
Yeah, I doubt that. You know, a couple of years ago, I forget who it was. I think it may have been Amazon Prime, did a similar thing to Hard Knocks, except they followed the Arizona Cardinals during a regular season. I thought that was pretty cool. I think that, in a way, was more interesting.
Well, you guys know there's one up
with the Cowboys, right?
Now with the Cowboys,
right?
Yeah,
right.
I'm only a couple episodes in, so I haven't gone all the way through yet. But like the last thing I saw, and I think it was in episode 2, they're actually going through the whole process of discussing what they're going to do about the anthem, like that week that Trump.
Oh wow!
Like,
interesting.
It was super interesting. Yeah,
that is
like
interesting.
kind of like them through like the process of deciding, like, and you guys remember they were on Monday night,
right?
They did the whole thing where they all knelt at once,
right?
And then, you know, Jerry was part of that, and they got up, and they actually had some inside stuff in the show where, you know, like they showed the discussion and you know, Garrett and Jerry and all those guys kind of deciding how they were going to handle it. I thought they got really, really good access on that. And you guys know NFL films.
No, they're the best. NFL films. Not much better than that.
They do a great job. They do. I tweeted out that article because it's really good about the Jets the night of drafting Sam Darnold. The author is Albert Breer. We always appreciate when you come on, Albert.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Albert, always a pleasure, man.
Albert Breer, MMQB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.